Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. God is so good. I said he's so good. Hallelujah. Has he been good to you this week? I believe he has because you're still here. Hallelujah. If you woke up and you came in today, it means you're still around. That means you're still breathing. It means you still got hope. Hallelujah. You might not have thought you had hope, but you got hope because God is good. Amen. And God is still working in you. He's still working through you. Amen. He still wants to use you. It's never used up. Praise the Lord. As long as you're here drawing breath. Don't you love that? I love that about God. It doesn't matter how off things can seem, how bad things can seem. God is always good, and he's always there, and he's always ready, willing, and able to take us into those things he has. Amen. Well, I want to share something with you before I get into the message. Praise the Lord. I want to share something with you that the Lord dealt with me, and he spoke to my spirit. You know, as I was standing out there before service, I was standing out front and with my wife, and I was just praying in the spirit and just praying, you know, nothing getting, not anything too fancy, just sitting there praying, seeking the Lord, you know, and thanking him for his goodness. Amen. You know, I heard these words in my spirit. I heard preparing for harvest. Preparing for harvest, amen. And I actually even saw it on a sign. I saw a big sign that says preparing for harvest. I think we may, when we get in the new building, which is coming real soon, amen. I mean, it's coming real soon. That's not just faith talk. I mean, it is faith talk, but it's not just faith talk. I mean, we're in the works on something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's coming soon. But I think we're going to put a sign in there that says preparing for harvest. Hallelujah. But, then the understanding came to me as I saw that, the understanding came to me that, you know, people don't build barns because they already have. People build barns because they're going to put something in it. Amen. And you know, that's just the same way with the work of the Lord. He'll start the work because he wants to bring in the harvest. He needs a place for when you reap the harvest. You know, there's a time of sowing, and then there's a time of waiting. And then there's a time of reaping. But when you're reaping, if you're not prepared, if you don't have the place ready, well, I believe that's what God is doing in the family churches. And I believe that's what he's doing in Family Church Mayville and Family Church Corey. Hallelujah. Because God has great things for us. And he has great things for the people of these towns. And I'm just really blessed by that. But you know, there's a scripture came to my heart. You can just write it down. Look at it later. Psalm 126 and verse 5. Five and six, basically, or actually, both of those scriptures. And it says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And you know, when it's saying sow in tears, it doesn't mean you're sowing like just because you're upset or whatever. But it means that when you're sowing something, you walk away with less than what you started with. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you sow a seed into the ground, at first you had the seed, you put it in the ground, you don't have that seed anymore. So you're sowing the idea of giving up or labor, hallelujah, is when you put work into it. And you don't have any guarantee looking at just the seed in the seed itself. You don't have any guarantee just by looking at it that you're going to have a harvest. But if you know how the harvest works, then you know that when you sow, you'll have a harvest. So it says that those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Praise the Lord. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Shall doubtless come again. Hallelujah. God's preparing us for harvest. You know, don't ever look at anything as menial. When you have a chance to, sow into something, when you have a chance, I don't care if it's a person, I don't care if it's a dollar, I don't care if it's a penny, if it's something you got, I don't care if it's a few hours of your labor. If you can sow into something, if you can sow into something in the name of the Lord, oh, praise God, doubtless you'll come again rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Bringing your sheaves with you. The sheaves, that's Old Testament talk for, you know, actually in Mayville we see sheaves. It's the Amish do them. They're just bundles of the whatever they're growing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But that's what a sheave is. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. Praise the Lord. It's free, no charge. But tonight we're preaching a message. It's called, What Did Jesus Do? Amen. What did Jesus do? Now, we've heard about those bracelets. I think we've all heard about those bracelets. So what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Yeah. And that, you know, that there was nothing wrong with that, thinking about what would Jesus do. But, you know, so many times I think Christians think they get too caught up in what would Jesus do instead of thinking about what Jesus did.
Right.
See, Jesus did something. It's awesome to think about what Jesus would do to keep you right. But I'm going to tell you, if you have revelation of what Jesus did, you're going to do right automatically. Why? Because when you got the word in you, when you got the word already deep inside of you, that just comes out. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit brings it about. He brings that word back to us. It brings it back to our remembrance. That's because God wants us to remember the things that he said. And as we activate those things, as we do right by the Lord, he just brings that back out of us. You ain't got to even go asking. You will just know, praise the Lord. And that's what's awesome about God. But we're going to talk about what did Jesus do? Because when we understand what Jesus did, when we get that fully in us, then we're going to question God a whole lot less on things that we question God on. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to turn to a very popular scripture, one that you know and one that we've said before, but it's John 3:16. Amen? We could probably quote this without even turning there, but we're going to because we like to see it in the sword. Amen. Sword. We got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. God gave his Son. He sent his Son. Is another thing that we can say. We know that he sent his Son, he gave us his Son, but he gave us his Son for a purpose. Now, see, so many people, they just stop at the purpose of, oh, he came to die for our sins, and he takes us to heaven. And that's a wonderful and great purpose that we need to know, we need to have settled in us, we need to be excited about, but that is not all that he did. Jesus came for a purpose. God never gives a gift without purpose. He never gives a gift that isn't intended to do something. God never does anything without intent for it to accomplish something. Amen? What would Jesus do? Praise the Lord. We ask ourselves this all the time. But we need to ask ourselves, what did Jesus do? He came here to do something for the church. He came here to really create the church. Praise the Lord. But then we're supposed to walk away and do something with that. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. God has a specific plan and purpose for each and every one of us. He had a specific plan and purpose for his Son. One of the things that his Son did was usher in the Holy Spirit. We can't forget about that. We can't forget about the importance of the Holy Spirit. And yet you just don't hear that much about the Holy Spirit in church anymore. You might hear a little, you know, talk about him here and there. But we don't realize how important the Holy Spirit is to a born-again believer. The Holy Spirit to a born-again believer is just as important as Jesus is. Hallelujah. I said he's just as important as Jesus is. Some people would say, hey, I don't know about that. They say, you can't go down that road. But I just did. The Holy Spirit is just as important as Jesus. How can we know that he's just as important? Because Jesus said he had to go away so the Holy Spirit could come. And if Jesus didn't go, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. And Jesus went, so the Holy Spirit would come. And because Jesus went to bring the Holy Spirit, we know that that was the next part of God's plan. So he's just as important to us. Actually, you could say this, to a born-again believer, he's maybe more important at this point. You understand what I'm saying? Now, of course, we know, understand God is three in one, you know, and so you can't separate that up. But we have to understand that his role in the earth today, his role in the church today is incredibly important. It's something that we need to focus on. It's something that we don't. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know, Jesus didn't just send the Holy Spirit. He did something. He created the church. And when he created the church, he made something. He made something out of people that didn't exist anymore. He made us into something that we weren't before. Hallelujah. I said he made us into something we weren't before. You ever heard that scripture that says we are a new creation in Christ? Behold, all things have become new. All things have become, he's made something that's new. So it was so many times Christians come into the church or people come into the church. And a lot of times they come to the church with baggage because they've been hurting. I came into the church with baggage. But you know, they hold on to that baggage as if they're ready to. You know, if you had somebody move in, I don't know if you got married, say you weren't married and you got married, amen, and your spouse moved into the house that you lived in, you know, and they came in and they brought their bags with them. Now imagine they never unpacked those bags. Now imagine they never unpacked those bags. You would think something's up, wouldn't you? Yeah. You think this person isn't planning on staying. You think, man, there's something about this. I don't know about this, but I don't feel right about this. They didn't pick a drawer out. They didn't say, that's my side of the bed. They didn't say, you know, I want to decorate in here too. No, they got their bags still. But see, that's the way Christians, that's an image of the church so often. Is that people come in, they hold on to their baggage, and they're there, and they're saying, Lord, I see in your word that you said that you make all things new, that you've made me a new creation, but I still got my old baggage. I still got the old things. I'm still holding on to them. Why? Because people don't realize that it's time to give that stuff up. God's doing something in us. And see, one of the reasons that the earth doesn't see the fullness of the church yet is because Christians don't live in the fullness of God yet. They don't realize what God's done for them. And because of that, they can't walk into what God has for them. I said they don't realize what God's done for them, and because they don't realize what God's done for them, for them, they can't walk in what God has for them. Praise the Lord. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. God is good. And this is so important to understand. God's will is not automatic on the earth. We know that. The Bible is very clear about that. We can't argue that, and I'm not going to argue that anymore. God's will is not automatic. We have to operate within the obedience to access the will and the promises of the Lord. We can't get there any other way. We can't get into the promises of God unless we decide to activate it. We know this just by looking at salvation. You can't be saved unless you receive Jesus. So why would we think the greatest thing that God could ever give us, why would we think that he would give us anything else any other way? It's foolishness to think that. Just because you receive Jesus does not mean you're going to walk in the plan of God. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't tell us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible wouldn't tell us to walk the way that Jesus walked if we just automatically did it. The Bible wouldn't tell us, you know, you read all about 1 John or all through 1 John and it tells you all about how Christians should live and how Christians need to walk right and live right. So they can be blessed. Praise the Lord. We're shown in Hebrews about the great men and women of faith that have gone before. And those who received, always received because they chose the right path. Hallelujah. And we can't think that it's any different with us. It isn't. In fact, the Bible tells us it's not any different than us. Because he also tells us that if he didn't spare those that he brought out of Egypt because of their unbelief, he ain't going to spare you because of your unbelief. And so to have belief, we have to get in church. We got to get under a pastor. We have to get into the word. We have to have these things working. You know, there's people out there that don't even know this yet. They're waiting for us. Praise the Lord. They're waiting for a church like this to teach them this word so they can come and get hooked up, and they don't even know it yet. There's people that haven't even heard about Family Church Corey yet, but praise the Lord, it's coming. I said, it's coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's people just now in Mayville that have, almost 4 years later, that are just hearing about the church now, coming in, having their lives changed. Praise God. We're preparing for harvest. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 16. I love the word too. Matthew 16. We're going to start in verse 13. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I love the word. The word is so thorough. It explains so much. It is so perfect. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I love that. Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he tells them who he is, but going on. Praise the Lord. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Hallelujah. You know, he's asking, what do people think? But then he's like, what do you think? Amen. Yeah. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Hallelujah. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I look at this. This is important. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. I want you to go back up to verse 16, though, and I want you to look at this again. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ." Yeah. Praise the Lord. Y'all know that Christ wasn't Jesus' last name, right? Yeah, right. Praise the Lord. It's, sometimes people think that way, but Christ had a specific meaning to it. Yeah. Amen? Glory to God. The word Christ, the name Christ, the title Christ, we call him Jesus, actually means the anointed or the anointed one. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, what is anointed? A lot of people, they hear that word. That's a very churchy word. We use the word anointed. I am anointed to do this, anointed to do that. There's an anointing, a strong anointing in here. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I love this because if you go to Luke, and don't turn there, but Luke 4:18, Jesus spoke this. This was a prophecy from the Old Testament. I believe it was in Isaiah. And Jesus quoted this. And it says in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me," hallelujah, "to do something. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. He has anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He has anointed me to give recovery of sight to the blind. He has anointed me to set at liberty those who are oppressed." The word anoint means to furnish what is needed. Hallelujah. Endowing Christians with the gifts or abilities of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Let me repeat that. The word anoint, he has anointed me to furnish what is needed. I love that. What is needed? It's so unspecific, but very specific at the same time. It's to furnish what is needed. What do you need? What could you ever possibly need? What could ever come across you? It doesn't say specifically it is only to give recovery of the sight to the blind. Right. To furnish what is needed. Right. The anointing that Jesus carried, I'm going somewhere with this. The anointing that Jesus carried was to do something specific. See, God doesn't give anointings without a purpose for them. He gives anointings so something will happen. Amen? It's essentially ability. We know in the beginning, I think it's around Acts 1:8, it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. See, that's something that we were anointed, we're being anointed with, is the Holy Ghost. You will receive power. The power was to go out and to be witnesses about Jesus all throughout the earth. That was what the power of God was for. Yeah. And see, we have to understand this as it pertains to us. He said, "You are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the one who has come to furnish what is needed." But that wasn't it. You have come to endow Christians with gifts or abilities of the Holy Spirit, which is what we just said in Acts. He's come to give us the power, the ability. Listen, you have to make a connection here. Christ was the anointed one. He came to do something with that anointing. He came to do more than just save you. Yeah. If he's come to give gifts or abilities to Christians, praise the Lord. Yeah. That means that he's going to do something in us as we weren't able to do before. But he was giving us something to go out and do something with. Praise the Lord. God did not intend us to just congregate together or to not congregate together, to just be Christians and live this life kind of haphazardly, just going through life, doing whatever we think is right today or whatever we want today. That is not, God gave us, there's purpose in us being saved. There's purpose in us being given the Holy Spirit. There is purpose in Christ coming and being the anointed one. The one who is going to anoint others. Hallelujah. Now Jesus ain't here anymore, but he did leave the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was supposed to stay with us, and that was for a purpose. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we see that Jesus is the anointed one. But then going down to verse 19 expresses this further. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now, why did he say, "I will give you"? Why didn't he give them to him then? Because he didn't have them then. Right. Yeah. Jesus had to die. He had to go through all that process before he had the keys to give over. But he gave them to somebody. He gave them to you and I. Amen. Hallelujah. You have no less Holy Spirit than Peter did. You have no less Holy Spirit than Paul did. You have no less Holy Spirit than any of the disciples did. Praise God. No matter how good or how bad they were, you have no more, no less. You have the same Holy Spirit, amen?
Amen?
We have to recognize that. We have to recognize the importance of that. God has given us the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom for a purpose. And it goes on to say, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven.
Right.
And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That means what you say is what's going to be.
Yeah.
That means what you do is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That means what you're after is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you're a Christian, if you're a walking, talking carrier of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, just like you should be. If you're a follower of Christ and you should be walking and talking with the power of God, with the very abilities of God. You see, listen, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ. We need to start acting like it.
Yeah.
Listen, leave your baggage on the door. Unpack that stuff. Throw out the stuff that don't matter anymore. If you need new clothes, get new clothes. Whatever you got to do, but start walking in what God has for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. He's anointed us to do something, just as he anointed Jesus, because that's what Jesus did, is he came to anoint others to continue to do the work. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus is the door. The Holy Spirit's the key. He's the one that gets you to the door. He's the one that gets you through the door. He's the one that leads. What's the door to? The door is to the Father. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way in. Okay, this is what salvation is. Salvation is the doorway to all that God has. Yes, it is eternal life. Yes, that's included. But that is not all there is about God. God is all about eternal life. Praise the Lord. But he's about so much more. He's about blessing. He's about prosperity. He is about increase. He is about bettering. He is about joy. He is about peace. He is about all these wonderful things. This is what our God is. This is what the doorway is to. This is what the door opens up into. When you go through the door, you go into the things that God has for you. But see, a lot of people go through the door and they don't ever look around. You see, those Christians that come in with their baggage and they come in and they don't even let go of their baggage. They just hold them. Well, it gets tiring holding baggage, don't it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? I mean, when I travel to California with Pastor Tim, sometimes, you know, we got to pack a lot more because we got to bring all our suits and stuff like that. So we have more bags. I sometimes envy the people that can pack everything in a carry-on and bring it through. Oh, praise the Lord. I wish I could do that sometimes. And then Pastor Tim, he's a bit taller than me and he walks fast. Praise the Lord. So I'm, you know, my little legs are trying to keep up with his legs and I'm toting all this stuff behind me and it's heavy. Praise the Lord. And they got wheels on it now and it's still heavy. It's still hard to handle because you got all this weight with it, you know. And then when I'm out there, I always try to, there's this fruit stand I found. So I always try to pack my luggage with that awesome fresh fruit that you can only get out there. And I pack all my luggage with that. So coming back, it's even heavier.
Yeah.
Amen. But you understand what I'm saying here is that it's heavy to hold baggage. I can't imagine standing there holding it all the time.
Right.
But see, that's what people do. They come into the church and they hold on to their baggage.
Yeah.
They're holding it. And they never get into what God, because their hands are occupied. They never get into what God has because their minds are on the baggage. They never get into what God has. See, this is the thing. This is the dupe of the devil. And this is why it's so crazy. But people come in and they just don't ever trust God. They don't ever learn to believe God. They're never taught to get into the things God has for them. And as a result, they just stand there looking like fools at the door with the baggage. Jesus is saying, come on in, put the bags down, get rid of the stuff that ain't good. I got all new stuff for you anyways. Amen. You know, there's one store in particular I really like shopping at. There's three that I really, but they're all by the same company, but there's one in particular that I really enjoy shopping at. And it's like, there's three stores, all the same company, very similar clothing, but they're different levels of expense. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I like the one that's the top end one. And there's just something about it. Whenever I'm in the store, it just feels good. When I put on the clothes, they feel good. I mean, they just feel great. You know what I mean? But you know, if somebody came up to me and I'm wearing my Walmart special, there's nothing wrong with Walmart. If that's where you're at. Praise the Lord. You know, if you gotta buy Walmart clothes, that's fine. But I'm gonna tell you right now, if you go buy a Walmart pair of jeans, they aren't as nice as a high end pair of jeans. There's a difference. I'm just telling you, there's a difference. It's kind of like the difference between driving my wife has a little Japanese car, a little Japanese car. And it's not that it was just a cheap car, but you know, they're not necessarily a luxury car.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I have a nice truck, nice American-made truck. Arr, You know what I'm saying? Is that? But there's a difference in driving the two. I'm going to tell you. You know, and it's just because, well, the truck is nicer. But praise God. Not that I'm trying to have a nicer vehicle than my wife. She's just learning. You know, she got to get caught up with me. That's all. But that's just a joke. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That was just a joke. But well, praise the Lord. Don't give me that look. No, she's not giving me a bad look. I'm just kidding. She's just smiling at me like she does. But praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is if somebody came in and said, you know, I'm going to give you a whole new set of clothes, the top end clothes. I'm talking even nicer than the stores that I'm even talking about. Would you keep your old rags? Would you want to keep the old clothes that didn't fit so well anymore, or the clothes that were worn and stuff like that? No, you'd take the new clothes. Yeah. But that's exactly what Jesus did. You understand? I'm still talking in terms of baggage here. Yeah. That people hang on to this stuff that's old and worn out, and it's not doing them really only good. It's only getting them just the basics. And God has something so much better for you if you go in. But see, and people, the part of the problem is people haven't learned how to access the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that, because the Holy Spirit is going to lead people into that. That's part of what His job is to lead them to God. But when people reject the Holy Spirit, they say, well, I don't want all that stuff. I don't know about all that, you know, praying in tongues, all that weird stuff, you know. And they say that they're rejecting the things that God has, the way that God has for them to get all that baggage cleared out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When my wife met me, I had lots of baggage. When my wife first came in, I had a closet full of baggage, bad stuff. And I just told her, I said, I was like, if you ever want to throw something out that I have, I was like, just don't tell me about it. Just throw it out if it's bothering you that bad. And I had this one shirt that I used to love. What's that? It was a shirt. I had this one shirt that I just absolutely loved. And I think it was called a dashiki. And it's just not something that probably anybody in any first world country should wear. But I like to wear this from time to time. Well, that was one of the things my wife decided to throw out. I did notice somewhere down the road, it was like a year later, I was like, hey, where did my dashiki go? She's like, oh, I threw that out a year ago. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I had a lot of stuff in my closet that I had a lot of stuff in my ripped up stuff, you know, stuff that wasn't very becoming and stuff like that. I know there's stuff that's popular, but, you know, even you go to a nice store and you spend $50 on a pair of jeans or $100 on a pair. I've never spent $100 or $50 on a pair of jeans, just in case you're wondering. But even if you do that and they have holes in them, they're still nicer than ones that have holes because they've been worn out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's still a difference in them. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. See, you'll be saved, but you go in and out and find pasture.
Yeah.
What is pasture? Pasture to a sheep is everything.
Yeah.
Every sheep wants a good pasture.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, if you took that, we drive by some cows on the way here, just down our road. But if you put that fence that just stayed right on the road and didn't reach the pastures at all and put all those cows in the road, they wouldn't be so happy. You know, we saw cows as we were driving by, nice fall day, and we saw cows as we were driving by just laying out there in the field, just chewing on whatever they were chewing on, just enjoying it. That's pasture. That's what pasture is. Pasture to a cow, pasture to a sheep is everything. But Jesus said, you'll go in and out and you'll find pasture. You'll find the things that you need. Praise the Lord. You'll have all the sustenance you need. Amen? Because that's what a good shepherd does. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to John 16:5. You know, in John 10:10, while you're turning there, you know, we just read John 10:9, excuse me. John 10:9 that says, I am the door. And that, you know, I'm trying to flip through my, you know, I'm doing the new thing with the old school Bible, praise the Lord. So I'm trying to talk and turn pages at the same time, which is kind of like talking and chewing gum or walking and chewing gum or whatever it is, praise the Lord. But John 10:9, while you're turning, so turn to John 16, but John 10:9, so whoever, I am the door, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, will go in and out and find pasture. And then the verse 10, we love John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So I wasn't just making stuff up. Jesus is saying he wants us to have an abundant life.
Yeah.
But see, when you're so focused on your past, when you're so focused on your regrets, when you're so focused on what you came in with, you'll never focus on what you got in the future.
Yeah.
See, that's the whole purpose of the devil coming. That's how he steals, kills, and destroys. He hasn't got to do anything to you except convince you of what you're not.
Yeah.
I said he doesn't have to do anything except convince you of what you're not. See, if you can't see yourself in light of what the gospel says about you, if you can't see yourself as a new creation, if you don't see yourself as having a Savior who paid the debt for everything for you, that got you through the door but also gives you pasture, if you don't see yourself with that, you ain't ever going to have it. That's like a person who walks into a mansion with all their bags full of all their dirty, nasty old clothes and stands there and looks around and doesn't ever touch anything, even though it was all given to them. Praise the Lord. They could have everything, but unless they access it. See, God wants us to have things. So you found John 16. Find verse 5. You'll be ahead of me. Amen. Praise God. I love this title. My Bible says, The Work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. There is something the Holy Spirit was supposed to do. Guess what? There's something that the Holy Spirit is still supposed to do. Amen. He's still doing something today. Hallelujah. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Yep. If there's anybody who was going to miss Jesus, it was these men and women who spent time around him. Yep. If there's anyone who was going to be sad that he was gone, because they knew who he was. They knew that when they were with the Master, when they were walking around with him, they knew that there was provision. They knew that everywhere they went, that things worked out. They knew that they never lacked. They trust him so much, they gave their entire lives to him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. See, they knew it. Yeah. And their sorrow had filled their hearts because he's talking about leaving. Praise God. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. So that's one of the jobs of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Notice it said the ruler of this world. You need to underline that in your Bible. You need to pay attention to that phrase right there, the ruler of this world. Notice it's not capitalized. The ruler of this world. See, so many people are like, oh, God's in control. God's in control. How can God be in control if someone else is a ruler? Oh, praise the Lord. How can God be in control if someone else is a ruler? I just get, you can't find, well, that's what, you know, it's a word, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where am I? Yeah. I'm trying to find it. 12, yeah. Thank you. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I love this scripture. We could stop here. We could preach on this forever, or for a long time anyways. Mm-hmm. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Do you know if the Lord had given me, when I was first seeking him, if the Lord had showed me all that I was going to do for him, up to this point, I would have given up. Yeah. Do you know that I still don't know what I'm going to be doing in 10 years? Yeah. Do you know why I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 10 years? Because if I knew what I was going to be doing in 10 years from now, I would probably be giving up. Yeah. Because, see, the thing is, I can't bear the things that are down the road, so I have to just stay in today. And that's where a lot of us, we get so focused on what's coming ahead, praise the Lord. I don't know how we're going to do it. You know, the Lord has walked me through process after process after process, just to bigger my thinking. Yeah. He will do this with all of us. But you know, there was a time when I couldn't believe when $200,000 for a building seemed like unreachable to me. Praise God. Yeah. The Lord is. I look at buildings that are a couple hundred thousand dollars. That's right where it needs to be now. Yeah. Well, for the church, I'm not talking about for myself. I'm not just going and buying buildings. But if I need to, if the Lord directs me, I know it'll be there. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm not afraid of that. Right. You know, my pastor is a greater example. He's got two buildings that are worth $6 million. Praise the Lord. And see, it's the same thing. You know, God works us. Sometimes he has to work things into us, but we can't bear them now, so he gives us a little bit at a time. Yeah. This is why a lot of people, they think they could handle $1 million, but they really couldn't. Right. It would destroy them. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Yep. However, look at this. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. Again, God doesn't use words haphazardly in Scripture. He said he will guide you. He didn't say he's going to drag you in. He didn't say he was going to translate you in. He didn't say he was going to pick you up and put you in the truth. He said he was going to guide you into the truth. What do we know about a guide? Well, a guide, I'll give you an example. I went on a bear hunt a few years ago. And I went, I've never been a hunter and never hunted in my life. And I go on this bear hunt with all these other ministers because I just wanted to be around the other ministers. But for about 6-7 hours a day, I sat in a tree stand out in the woods by myself in the middle of Canada, somewhere where there's nobody else around. I sat there by myself waiting for a bear so I could shoot it. Amen. Well, I'm gonna give you a little bit up front, just tell you that I never shot one. I never saw one. I never smelled one. Heck, I don't even know if I know what a bear looks like, praise the Lord. But that's besides the point. But I remember about the first night I was in the stand, it did nothing but rain. The second night, and I thought, there's no bear coming out in this. And they told, oh, yeah, they'll come out. You know, the guides, they want to keep you out there because they want you to come back and all that stuff. And they want you to trust them. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm uncomfortable in the rain. I know a bear is uncomfortable in the rain. Praise the Lord. There ain't no bear walking around in the rain. If you ever put a dog out in the rain, what do they don't stand out there in the rain? They come back in. They want to come back in, right? Well, bears are the same thing. Bears are, but that's neither here nor there. So anyways, I'm out there by myself, and this is about the third day, I think. And I'm sitting up there in the tree stand, and I thought, you know what? I wasn't in there maybe an hour, maybe a couple hours. I can't remember. But I was like, you know what? I paid for this. I ain't got to sit up here. There is nothing that's keeping me in this tree stand but me right now. And I don't want to be here anymore. Praise the Lord. I paid for it, but I did that knowing that I could still be who I want to be and do what I want to do. If I want to get out of the tree, I'm getting out of the stand. So I called the guide on the phone, and I said, and I knew something that the others didn't know, by the way, at this point. I knew that none of us were getting bears. I knew it because I already knew that there's something off in these guys. But anyway, so I called the guy. He's like, oh, no, you can't get out now. He's like, this is the best hunting of the day. I was like, it may be the best hunting of the day, but there ain't no bears out here, and I'm not sitting up here in the stand anymore. Come get me. Praise the Lord. And he wasn't real nice to me, you know. I will say that it was about 15 minutes later, I was sitting in the truck with him, and somebody called in because they got a bear. But I know that there wasn't any bears where I was. But where was I going with all this? Oh, here's the thing. See, he was a guide. That was his job. He was guiding me, but if I wasn't going to be led, he knew that he couldn't keep me in that stand because it was up to me. Yeah. See, the same thing is with the Holy Ghost. He's our guide. He will guide you into the truth if you're willing to go. He will guide you into the stand if you're willing to sit. But as soon as you want up and out, you're all done. See, this is the thing. The thing of the will of God is it is not automatic. We have to choose to walk in it. We have to choose to walk in everything God has for us. Only then will we find the blessing of God. His blessing is not attached to what we want. It's only attached to what He wants. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. Hallelujah. Do you know how many Christians have no idea what's coming next? I mean, they have no idea what's going to happen next. These things shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so that Christians have no idea where they're going, what they're doing. Praise the Lord. What they're going to have. You know, my son was, my oldest son, Aaron, you know, he's been learning a lot of adult things, being an adult. And I remember one particular thing. I just talked to him. Is this it? Is this the one? Is this the thing you're after? Is this what God has for you? Why was I asking him that? Because the Lord will tell him. Yeah. He's like, I don't know. Well, you got to spend more time seeking God because the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into the truth. Yes. This is why we don't have to worry about who we marry. This is why Christians don't have to worry about what job to take, what town to live in, what church to go to. Because if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you'll know. Yeah. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Amen. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Have you ever come across the border coming from Canada? You know what they ask you? You have anything to declare? You have anything to claim? Praise the Lord. That's what they're asking you. He'll declare it to you. This is what's yours. This is what I have. This is what's yours. He's going to tell us. But see, this is the thing. Christians are so focused. Like, look at, if you walked into that mansion, with your baggage, and all you're doing is looking at what's in your bags, you're not seeing the gold that's on the walls. You're not seeing you're not seeing the marble floors. You're not seeing the priceless works of art. You're not seeing the whatever the huge ceilings and the huge vaulted ceilings and the big ornate fireplace. You're not seeing that stuff because you're focused on that. See, you can't focus on what God has for you if you're so focused on what you have. Of what you come in with, amen? Praise the Lord. Or who you thought you were. Well, praise God, hallelujah. Turn with me to Romans 8. Praise God, hallelujah. Romans 8, we're going to start in verse 12. Now keep that in mind, that he's going to declare what is Jesus's to us. Now why is he going to declare it? Well, we're going to find out here in a minute, amen? So Romans 8, 12. Or we read through verse 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. That's so important there. Yeah. You're debtors, not to the flesh. Yeah. Not to live according. He said brethren, so that means Christians. Yeah. Are you born again? Mm-hmm. Have you accepted Jesus? Yeah. Okay, you are a debtor, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Mm-hmm. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Yeah. Christians, we need to meditate on these scriptures. Mm-hmm. This is what will keep you doing right. Yeah. You know, you got to ask what Jesus will do when you seek God this way. Praise the Lord. Yeah. When you decide that you are, or if you meditate on the word, you know what meditate means? It means to mutter. It means to speak it out. Over and over, think about it, to toss it around. Praise the Lord, you speak it over and over and over again. Get it in you. If you have the word like this in you, you aren't going to, it'll help you from sinning. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit, see, this is, again, if Christians don't know the Holy Spirit, if they're not acquainted with the Holy Spirit, how are they going to use the Holy Spirit to put to death the deeds of the flesh? They're not going to be able to do that, amen? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Glory to God. That is such an important scripture for us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear. You know, there's a scripture that says that perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. Perfect love, I think it's 1 John 5, maybe 5:5 or something like that. But it's in 1 John. Perfect love casts out fear. You did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now look at this. Remember in John 16, it tells us that the Holy Spirit was going to declare something to us, right? Yeah. What is Christ? Why was he going to do this? Because this is what we need to know. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, I can't remember if I said this in Mayville or in Corey, but it doesn't matter. But I talked about the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings of Christ, when you look at what the sufferings of Christ were, it wasn't sickness. Jesus was never sick. He was never lacking. He was never going without. What were the sufferings of Christ? It was being railed at. It was persecution because of who he was. You will see that's the sufferings of Christ. You will get persecution in your life because you're a Christian, especially if you're a Christian living right. You will see persecutions. But the sufferings of Christ were never sickness and disease. They were never going without. They were never not knowing what to do. It was never a lack of peace that Jesus suffered from. See, all these things that Christians think they're suffering from because they think they're suffering for Christ, they're not suffering for Christ then. They're just walking in they're not walking in the fullness of Christ. They're just missing everything that Christ has for them. Everything, see, we have to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges, but Christians are trying to compare apples to rocks or apples to potatoes, something totally, they're not even the ballpark, even remotely close to each other. But that's what Christians are going to do. You know, you don't drink potato juice, do you? No, that'd be weird. You don't ever hear a potato crisp. I love apple crisp, amen. This is the time of year you get apple crisp, apple pies. I guess you do have, well, it's got to be sweet potato pie, ain't regular potato pie. Because that'd be weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be weird? You wouldn't want that. Thanksgiving. Oh, you have a good Thanksgiving meal, and you're like, oh, Mom, what do you got? Oh, I got some potato crisp for us. Amen? That's what we're going to have for dessert. We're going to put some whipped cream on it. It might make it a little bit better. I don't know, but praise the Lord. See, we have to compare things that are comparable. We have to look at things the way when we want to know something, we compare it with what we see in the Word. When we want to know what God's talking about, it's just like people talk about the thorn in the flesh that Paul had. People talk about that all the time. They want to say it was a sickness, a disease. But see, the thing is, if you look up in Scripture what a thorn in the flesh was, you find out that it was actually a demonic personality, something that was railing against him. And then we find out, if you study that out, that's exactly what Paul was dealing with. I'm not saying that Paul never dealt with sickness or anything. I don't know about that. I'm just saying that's not what the thorn in the flesh was. The thorn in the flesh was a personality. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. See, when we answer the Word with the, or we answer our questions with the Word, we always have the right answers. But see, if we build doctrine on things that aren't Word, then we get confused and we confuse others. And then that's why we don't understand how God can be good. And when we just start saying, well, how can God be good if he's taking grandmas and babies away? And then it doesn't make sense to us. So we say, oh, just God must love people different than we love people. His love is a different love. Because the Bible does say that. His love is a different kind of love than what ours is. So, and what it means is a greater love than what we had. It's not so different that we can't understand it. For God's sakes, he's not the author of confusion, and yet Christians are the most confusing people sometimes in the world. These things ought not be so. This isn't what God intended for us. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. How many of these suffering Christians do you see glorified on earth? Not so. You don't see it. Because they're not following the Word. It isn't because God didn't want them to. It isn't because God hasn't paid for it for them. It's because they're choosing not to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're going to close here. 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pages, new Bible, pages are still sticking together. 2 Peter 1. Verse 2 through 4. I love we have to understand the Word. When the Bible says grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, this is the desire of the Lord. Yeah. This wasn't just Peter saying this because it sounded good. This is he's been inspired by the Holy Spirit to say this. Now look at this. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied. Everybody say multiplied.
Multiplied.
What does multiply mean?
Multiply.
It doesn't mean to subtract. It doesn't mean to divide. It doesn't mean to take away. It means to add multiple times.
Yes.
It's not just adding. Adding's great. Multiplication's better, right?
Yeah.
Praise
yeah.
the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're getting money that's coming in and you add it, that's one thing. But if you get money that's coming in, you got to multiply it, that's pretty awesome, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Glory to God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. See, this is another thing. We should circle or put a box around or highlight that word in. This is where it's multiplied, in the knowledge of God and of our Lord, of Jesus our Lord. This is where grace and peace is. Why is it multiplied here? Because when you understand that God, his word tells you that he doesn't want you poor, he wants you supplied, fully supplied to overflowing, then you're never going to worry about your finances, because you owe that the Father of all everything, the one who owns everything, he wants it for you.
Yeah.
This isn't some crazy prosperity message. This is the prosperity message of this is the prosperity message. It's called the Bible.
Yeah.
That's exactly what God has for us. He has increased for us in all areas of our life. He wants you to have better relationships. He wants you to have better friends. He wants you to have better family members. Hallelujah. This is why the body of Christ is supposed to be such a desirable thing, because we're supposed to come in and say, hey, this person is way better than anybody I ever dealt with in the world. But that's not the way it is it? Why? Because Christians aren't living this. Well, we're good, aren't we?
Right.
Praise the Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through, again, here we go back. This is the same thing, saying the same thing over again. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. all things that pertain to life and godliness only come through the knowledge of Him. All things that God has for you only comes through the knowledge of Him. You can't get it any other way. And I love verse 4. I was going to actually just close with this one verse, but he had to read all those because I just love them. By which we have been given, which have been given to us, exceedingly great. Oh my gosh. When the Bible says exceedingly great, it means exceedingly great. It means more than you can even imagine. You know, the Bible says that he does more than we can either hope or think. We can even think. That's how much better our God wants to do for us. Exceedingly great. Praise the Lord. Exceedingly great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Oh my gosh. Oh my Lord. Can you see this here? He wants us to be. God does not just want us to be Jeff and Renee and Bob and Melinda. He doesn't just want us to be what we were. He wants us to be partakers of His divine nature. That's why Jesus died. It isn't about what would Jesus do. It's about what He did. He died so that we could be partakers of Him, be partakers of His life, be partakers of things that He has. All things that are the Father's are His, He said. And now He wants to give them to us too. Praise the Lord. What are you walking in? What kind of trouble are you walking through? See, if you walk through it right, you're going to walk through it different. Right. If you walk through it right, you're going to walk through it better. You're going to walk through it smiling. You're going to walk through it with joy because you understand that God is greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. He has so much more for you than you can even imagine. And you're sitting here stewing about a stinking monthly mortgage payment. Yeah. What's $400 or $500? Let's make a big mortgage payment. What's $10,000 a month to God? He created everything. What is it to Him? It is nothing. If you're partakers of that divine nature, though, if you that's what you got, why are you worried about it? Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You can't do it unless you escape that corruption. You can't do it if you're full of corruption. Praise the Lord. You will never walk into God's fullness full of corruption. You have to transform. You have to allow your mind and your life to be transformed into everything God has. And you will walk those things out. Amen? Yeah.